We now start the year 2023 examining one of our three forms of unity, the Canons of Dort. Now, since this is the first Lord's Day of this series, it's good to have a little bit of a background as to why this confession was written. In about the late 16th and early 17th century, there was a Reformed theologian by the name of Jacob Arminius, who was a professor at a university in the Netherlands. And he took issue with a number of the teachings that the Reformed Church believed, including the teaching that God elected from all eternity those whom he chose to save in Christ Jesus. He took issue with that, speaking of other things. Soon after his death, his followers decided to put together a draft of objections to the faith that was taught in the Belgic Confession and the Heidelberg Catechism, specifically on election. And all the Reformed churches in the Netherlands and other representatives from other countries came to Dort to debate and discuss this important issue. About the year 1618, they met, and then 1619, the meeting was completed, and this document, the canons, were finalized. And so as we enter now into this confession, this response to the followers of Arminius, we see what teaching from the scriptures our fathers in the faith sought to affirm from the scriptures. As you can see, even from these early two articles, this confession bleeds Bible everywhere, because they're seeking to say, this is what the Bible says. This is what God's word says. So the canons of Dort are divided into four main heads, technically five. The first one being divine election and reprobation, or the work of the Father. The second head of doctrine is salvation in Christ. The third and fourth head combined into one, man's sin and depravity, and the work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate man's heart. And then the final head of doctrine, the perseverance of the saints. This is where we are heading for this new year. What we have here at the very beginning of the first head, Articles 1 and 2, the authors of this confession want to make clear that God's justice is at stake in this debate, in this concern. And they are very quick to begin by saying, let us speak of his justice before we consider his mercy. If God operated simply on his justice and did not show mercy at all, this is what every single human being deserves: wrath and curse. Why? Because all have sinned. And what is sin? Sin, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, it's any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law. To put it simply, it means failing to do what God commands and doing what God forbids. But we do this not only with our actions, but with our hearts. Every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God. Why? Because God has given everything to us. God does not owe anything to you or to me. Nothing. We owe everything to him. He gives us life, breath, and everything. Even the blessing that God promised to Adam, if he had obeyed the command to eat the fruit of the tree, if he obeyed the command not to eat of the fruit of the tree that was forbidden, even that promise of eternal life, if he had obeyed, was itself a gracious gift. But Adam rejected that and said, I will seize and take and decide what is good and evil for myself. And we who have descended from Adam by ordinary generation have inherited that sinful tendency in all of us. We are born sinners and we do sin. And thus, according to God's justice, he would be completely right to leave us all in hell. That is the justice of God. He would have been completely just to do so. Salvation, God doesn't owe salvation to anyone. And yet he has manifested his salvation. Article 2. In this the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's love and mercy is unconditional. And that's the point that we want to make clear at the very beginning of this head of doctrine. This head of doctrine is also known as unconditional election, meaning that God's choice to choose and save sinners was not conditioned upon our receiving Jesus, upon any good thing that we do, or any attempt on our part to believe on Christ. God's love is unconditional upon us. It is conditioned, though, upon his will. If he has decreed to save, he must accomplish that, because God must be true to his word. So the condition is in God himself, not in us. That means it is gracious. That means it is merciful. This is the love that God has shown to us in Christ. Amen.